Visions and dreams. We all like visions. We all like dreams. Visions and dreams are two words that are found in the Bible. They are found both in the Old and the New Testament. And so when the charismatics restored the ministries of the prophets and the apostles, it is inevitable that they will also have to bring back visions and dreams. Because visions and dreams are the vehicles that God used to speak to his prophets in particular. That's what God said to Abraham and to Miriam, who challenged the leadership of Moses. Moses was a special servant of God, where God said, to prophets, I speak through visions and dreams. But to Moses, I speak face to face. And therefore, they were punished for challenging the Lord's anointed to lead Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land. Visions and dreams are very common in Christian circles. In the introduction, I have inserted the steps given by this Perry Stone, an ordained bishop with the Church of God, a charismatic Pentecostal denomination, where he wrote and taught his own people, his followers, how to interpret dreams. This is from his writing, where he says, just as you interpret the dream of Pharaoh by Joseph, give meanings to some of the characters or the subjects that appear in your dream. And so he says, there are certain animals that I call the odd flock. They are the sheep, the goat, and the pig, each representing a different type of believer. Now, I did not know that there are pig believer. Right? In the Bible, there are goats and sheep. Sheep are true believers, goats are false believers. But I did not know that there are pigs. But apparently he has pigs. The sheep always refers to individuals or a group of believers who faithfully follow the shepherd. Goats are part of the flocks in the Middle East, but they are separated from the sheep as they can become difficult to get along with at times. A goat can allude to someone in the flock who has a negative attitude or refuses to obey the instructions of a shepherd. The pig is considered a very unclean animal in Judaism, and religious Jews will not eat any form of pork. In 2 Peter 2:20 to 22, a pig is a metaphor used to describe a backslider or someone who returns to their old filthy ways. Often the Holy Spirit is symbolized as a dove, and so on and so forth. So if your dream has some animals in it, according to this man called Perry Stone, he will teach you how to put meanings into your dreams. Now, this is taught in churches. This is how the charismatics look at their Christian life today. These are called extra biblical revelations. And they really believe that this is God's own way of adding to scriptures to direct and to guide the lives of God's people today. They're very sincere, very genuine. I'm not sure whether you heard of this man called Creflo Dollar, right? He was the one who put on the website asking for money to purchase a brand new multi-million dollar private jet. And then because of the big hoo-ha that came, he had to take it down very quickly. But his idea is still to buy a brand new multi-million dollar private jet, and his reason, so that he can fly all over the world and bring the gospel of salvation for Christ's sake. That's his claim. Now, this is his testimony of a dead charismatic leader who had died and appeared to him in a dream and supposedly spoke to him. Popular televangelist and founder of World Chargers Church International, Creflo Dollar, revealed at a national memorial service for renowned pastor and motivational speaker Miles Monroe and his wife Ruth in the Bahamas that the revered preacher appeared to him in a dream 3 days after the deadly crash that killed the beloved couple and 7 others last month. In a YouTube clip of this address at the service last Wednesday, Creflo Dollar, who attended with his wife, Taffy, remembered Monroe and his wife as exemplary leaders and said in his dream, Monroe was leading his own homegoing service. You can read this for yourself. It is quite laughable. It is quite ludicrous. If it is not for the great damage that it has done to the cause of Christ, you can just simply laugh it off. But it is no laughing matter. Then you have the other person, Benny Hinn, more famous than Creflo Dollar. He claimed that Catherine Coleman, one of his contemporaries, appeared to him in a dream after she died. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something right now. The Lord showed me a vision about goodness. It's almost been a year now. And I can tell you, I sense now the time has come when this vision is going to be fulfilled. I had a vision of the night when I saw myself walk into a room. I've shared this before, but just in case you have not heard it, I want you to hear it. I saw myself walk into a room and there stood Kathleen Coleman. And I've not seen Kathleen in a dream or a vision in years. When she died, the day she died, the morning she died, I had a dream. What I saw in a casket was with a white dress and so on. This man, Benny Hinn, has claimed many visions and many dreams, including seeing a vision or a dream of the resurrected Christ. He is not alone. Now, these are very well-known key charismatic leaders with thousands and thousands of followers. Benny Hinn even claimed to have big crowd attending his miracle rallies. When he conducted them in Africa, he claimed that the only place large enough to hold his crowd, his congregation who flocked to visit him, has to be a deserted runway of an airport. Because according to what we saw on television when I was in Nairobi about 10 years plus ago, 15 years ago, I saw on television where they screen his ministry in Africa. And the camera just went from one end of the crowd to the next. And you see thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And according to the commentator, they claim that at that gathering, they had 1 million people. To him, who had experienced 1 million people attending his rallies, he would share that when he went to other countries for his ministry, the crowd is very small. And then when the interviewer asked him, how small? Oh, it's very small, maybe about 60 to 100,000. To him, that's small. To us, if you have a rally or a gospel meeting that have 6,000, we'll call it huge. To him, 60,000, 100,000 is small because he had experienced 1 million people. Now that's Benny Hinn. And this is the kind of theology, the kind of experiences that they would boast and claim. And the saddest part is his followers believe him. His followers believe such things. Now this is a Christian form of necromancy, isn't it? To claim that you talk to dead people. That is what necromancy is. But now they have Christianized it. And the amazing thing is, these are the bulk of the Protestant movement today. And if they form the bulk of the Protestant movement, you and I would have to surrender and admit that the bulk of the Protestant movement believes in a Christian kind of necromancy. Because that's what they are writing, and that's what they are propagating and promoting. And there are a lot of people who believe what is mentioned here. We have to go back to the Bible. We cannot use experience versus experience. Your vision, your dream versus their vision, they are dreams. We have to let the Bible be the yardstick to evaluate whether such claims are legitimate. Now, at the end of this, we're going to talk about the vision that John Sung himself claimed. If you have read his biography, he did claim that he received at least two visions from God. One, to convert him, he saw himself inside a coffin. Another, to let him know that his ministry will last only 15 years and it will be divided into 5 segments, 3 years each. And true enough, his ministry lasted 15 years and segments of 5, 3 years each. It came to pass in his life. So what exactly is the biblical teaching concerning visions and dreams? Now let's look at the definition. If we cannot agree on the definition, then there will be a problem. We have to understand this based upon a common definition. And the definition has to come from the Bible. All right, not from a dictionary. Because as you know, a dictionary's definition of vision depends on the context in which it is used. You can say, if our company does not have a vision, our company will die. It will perish. And you can even claim from a Bible verse that talks about, without vision, my people will perish, right? And so some people regard the meaning of the word vision as foresight, planning. If this company does not plan for the future, no vision, it will die. I mean, that is one way of using the word vision. We do not deny that. But that is not how the word vision is used in the scripture. Bible verses that talks about vision and dreams equating to the word of God, they are numerous. Let me just cite 2 examples. Numbers 12, 6 to 8. Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak to him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then, were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? I mentioned this. The context was the rebellion of Aaron and Miriam against the leadership of Moses. Hebrews 1, 1 to 2. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spake unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So in the past, God used many different ways to give us his word. It could be through visions and dreams. It could be through angels. It could be through dictation. Many ways God had spoken in the past, but in the New Testament, God said, I will now speak to you directly through my Son who will walk on earth and in the midst of God's people. It's referring to his first coming. So visions and dreams are simply ways that God will give to his people the word of life. The difference is when God uses the word vision to give his word to his people, the person is alive. The person is awake. I mean, not alive. The person is awake. The person can see and he can just literally talk to God and God talks to him. He is very much awake when God revealed himself to him. Like Peter, who was on the rooftop when God appeared to him in a vision, and then God lowered the bedsheet covered with a lot of animals, clean and unclean, and asked Peter to eat 3 times to prepare him to accept the invitation by Cornelius to go to his home, because Cornelius was a Gentile and he was not supposed to enter into the home of any Gentile according to the Old Testament teaching in order not to disqualify himself from doing anything religious, because he would be considered unclean, spiritually speaking. And so God appeared to him in a vision. He was very much awake, waiting for supper, and then God appeared. Dreams refer to a person who is sleeping, and then God will speak to the person, and then the next morning or after the dream, the person wakes up, like what God did to Pharaoh in the time of Joseph. God did the same to Nebuchadnezzar in the time of Daniel. They were sleeping, and then God appeared to them in a dream. But in both cases, in the case of Peter, who received the vision, or in the case of Joseph and Pharaoh, or Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar, they received the dream, but the end result is the very word of God. So visions and dreams are not like our modern usage of the vision and dream in the secular world. It is, in the Bible sense, it is just two methods that God would use to give us His inerrant, infallible word of life. So visions and dreams in the Bible are vehicles that God employs both in the Old and in the New Testament to give us His word. Revelation is a book filled with a lot of visions, where God, through the angel, will reveal His word, His future plans for us, to the Apostle John. So this is how you must understand visions and dreams. And so when that verse says, without vision, my people perish, what it means is that without God's word, God's people will perish, which is true. Without God's word to direct and guide us concerning what is right and what is wrong, what is God's will on how to do the will of God and the work of God, without His word to direct and guide us, we will perish. Because without God's word, we will all do what is right in our own eyes. That's what the world does. That's the word, what the world continues to do today. But for us as God's people, without vision, without God's word, we will die, which is true. So, what exactly are the modern day charismatic visions and dreams? The implications. Today, in some charismatic circles, it is portrayed that a person who receives visions and dreams is one who is close to God. And so, you'll find that in some charismatic churches, they are prophets, because they have restored the offices of prophets and apostles. They will claim to have visions and dreams. On a numerous occasion, when I listen to the sermons of some of our own, even our own local charismatic leaders, like Joseph Prince and Kong Hee, and they will have no problem telling their congregation that the Lord spoke to them this morning, or the Lord spoke to them last night, and this is God's word for you. And they have no problem saying it. And the people will just accept it, and whatever the pastors say that they have received from God in the dream or in the vision last night or this morning, they will receive it as if it is equal to God's word. They don't have to turn to the Bible. They just simply accept what they receive from the pastor who make that claim as from God. And then by making those claims, they are basically saying that they have a private audience with God and God with them. They want to have the aura of a special favor that God has bestowed upon them because they receive visions and dreams. Now that's the message, and that's the implication, and I think that's what many of us also presume. Because God spoke to Peter, special individual, special prophet. So they must be very special to God, and that's why God spoke to them in visions and dreams. Do you regard people who receive visions and dreams as people who are close to God or closer to God than you are? They have been endowed with special favor from God because they have visions and dreams. That seems to be our impression too. That may be how you feel. But when you look at the Bible, and we are talking about genuine biblical visions and dreams, not the claims of the charismatic, the false kind. We are talking about genuine visions and dreams that God has given to us in the Bible. Now let's look at the recipient. Now let's see who are some of these recipients who receive visions and dreams from God. Genuine ones, because they are recorded in the Bible. Genesis 20, 1-7. Now this was just after God had said to Abraham that your wife is with child. Same time next year, she will bring forth a son. Right? That's what God said to Abraham. That means in this particular incident in chapter 20 of Genesis, Sarah was already with child inside her womb when it happened. Now what happened? Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, from where God had spoken to him and his wife. and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gera. Gera was a Philistine city. The king was Abimelech. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gera, sent and took Sarah. Now, if God had not intervened, God's plan of salvation for us through Abraham and Sarah would be in trouble. She was already with child. So God had to intervene and stop this failure on the part of Abraham and Sarah, because they still appealed to the arm of the flesh to protect themselves. According to Abraham's perception of Sarah, he still regarded her as a very beautiful woman. Now, I do not know how beautiful Sarah looked, all right? Because many decades earlier, when they were 75 and 65, okay, they lied when they entered into Egypt, Genesis 12. Now, Abraham was 99 because he was 100 when Isaac was born. She was 89 years old, and somehow she still retained her beauty. A 89-year-old woman, beautiful, that a man would take her and make her part of his concubine. Now, the king already had many women, many wives and many concubines. But when he saw Sarah, somehow Sarah had that beauty that Abimelech liked. 89 years old. I cannot imagine an 89-year-old woman to be so beautiful that another man would want to take her. But apparently that happened. And so in order to protect himself and her, they entered that city saying that we are brothers and sisters. Now, of course, if you want a sister, you treat the brother well. If you want the wife, you kill the husband. Now, that was the plan. So let us not tell them that we are husband and wife. Let us tell the people around us that we are brothers and sisters, which was correct. Half truth. They were really half brothers, half sister. And because of this failure on their part, lack of faith, failure, God now had to intervene to continue to protect his plan of salvation. And so God appeared to Abimelech in a dream by night, and then said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." And Abimelech had not come near her. And then he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, 'She is my sister,' and she herself said, 'He is my brother.' In the iniquity of my heart, in the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. I did not know. I am ignorant. Both of them lied to me. She said he is the brother, he said she's the sister, and that's why I took her. Now I have not slept with her." And so God said in reply, in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. You are not guilty on purpose. You are ignorant. That's why you are still alive. For I also withhold thee from sinning against me. That's why I kept that sin that you did not sleep with. That's why I intervene right now. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet." The first time the word prophet was used in the whole Bible. "And he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine." In other words, now that I've appeared to you in a dream, you cannot claim ignorance. They may have lied to you, you are right. But now I have intervened in a dream to you to stop you from sinning against me. Now you have to go to him and return the wife to him. Okay? Now this is a real dream. These are real words from God. How do we know? It's recorded in the Bible. This is part and parcel of God's inspired, preserved word of everlasting life, inerrant and infallible. Now, one thing we have to note is this, in regards to this idea that when a person receives a vision and a dream from God, there seems to be a special aura around them. Look at this example carefully. Number one, was Abimelech a believer? Far from it. He's not even a believer. And you're going to find that in the case of Joseph receiving, interpreting the dream of the baker and the butler, and then later on Pharaoh, none of them were believers. And yet God spoke to them in the dream in order to fulfill His own purpose, His own agenda. So please erase from your mind that a person who received a vision and a dream from God has some kind of a special aura. God can use anyone to give us His word. And that anyone doesn't have to be a believer. Doesn't even have to be a human being. God can use Balaam's donkey to give us His word. Remember? So does that mean that Balaam's donkey is now a special donkey? He's the donkey that is going to be the only one that is going to go to heaven? He will be a very lonely donkey. Imagine, the only donkey in heaven with a glorified body. It is ridiculous. So God can use anything, any creature, to give His word, because He is God. So please do not equate any semblance of special favor from God just because God to that person in a vision and a dream. Do not make that conclusion. It means nothing. In the case of Abimelech and many more other examples, they're not even children of God. They're not even saved. So when so-called pastors, apostles, modern-day apostles and modern-day prophets claim to have vision here, vision this, dream here, dream there, it doesn't mean anything at all. It only means that they are adding to scriptures. It only means that they are trying to deceive the congregation, because now they are getting their own people to neglect the word of God, and now what they are doing is appealing to some extra biblical source to give them the same kind of authority that can only be gleaned from the scripture, God's word. Don't you ever, ever be intimidated by this kind of modern claims today. Don't even be the slightest impressed by their claim. It's nothing special. In fact, today's visions and dreams, especially from the corners of the charismatic movement, they are definitely not of God. You evaluate their entire movement, from their association to their practices to the way they worship, including their doctrines. And it's not hard to find, because there are so much of this material out there in many of their bookshops. You just go in there and buy some of their theological books, and then you can easily determine, based upon scripture, that their doctrines are full of holes, full of errors. And then you evaluate their lives, their conduct, like this Creflo Dollar. Imagine asking for a multi-million dollar jet from the world. You can't and not allowed to ask unbelievers to give you offering to do God's work. That is unscriptural. You cannot do that. And yet he went out there just because he says that his old jet has clocked up don't know how many miles, and now it is not safe. So now he needs a new multi-million dollar plane. Now whether he's got it already, I do not know, because now everything is just hush. But he definitely stumbled a lot of people, his conduct and his behavior. And this Benny Hinn, he always dressed in white. And when they shine a light on him in the midst of the darkness of his rallies, he really glows like an angel, you know. All these are all part and parcel of their design. You buy a white suit, and then you light yourself with all kinds of spotlight. You will glow. That is his agenda. Everything is all staged to deceive. To deceive the naive, to deceive the undiscerning. Don't be impressed by someone who claimed to have visions and dreams. Even when it is real, it means nothing. Nothing at all. Visions and dreams are basically God's way of giving to us His word. Before we look at the proof text, okay, you turn to a very important passage. This passage, I do not believe, is found in the notes, but it's in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 13. Okay, remember this passage very well. To let us know how important the Word of God is. It includes miracles, includes dreams. Deuteronomy 13. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and a sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. What does that mean? That means evaluate any so-called dreamer of dreams or prophets who claim to have a word from God against the scripture. And in the Old Testament time, you notice the penalty. And if that person claims something supernatural, that he gave you a message from God, and you evaluate it and it is not from God, the result is stoning. You kill him. Why? Because that person is trying to deceive you, to make you lose your witness and your testimony for Christ. That person had just blasphemed God and his word. Now, this is not a trivial matter. Don't just simply brush it off because of the common claims of visions and dreams today. There's so many. There is a proliferation of these kind of things today, and you can read them in their books. And if you meet your friends who are from such a movement and they make this kind of claims about their pastors, about themselves, you have to know scripture and how to help them and deal with them. And let them know the serious nature of what they are doing by turning to passages like Deuteronomy 13. God treat this transgression as a very serious transgression, because if you were to collect and list out the list of transgressions that will result in death penalty by God, you will be shocked. This is one of them. Very serious. But God said to the people of Israel, you put him to death. The next few verses of the same chapter is the same thing. Similar. Put them to death. Anyone who tried to steer you away from following the Bible, from keeping the Bible, put him to death, including your own relatives, your son, your daughter, your wife, your friend, whoever it is. Verse 6, put that person to death, and you will be the first one to cast the stone. Very serious when somebody tempers with the Word of God, because when you temper with the Word of God, you are basically tempering with the only way of salvation. Because the only way of salvation is found in the Bible, nowhere else. And when you temper with God's word, you are basically tempering with the only way a sinner can be saved. And believers can mature and become more like Christ to do God's work. Either way, whether you undermine the maturity of believers by attacking the word of God, or by undermining the salvation of sinners by preventing them from entering heaven and condemning them to hell, either way, it is serious. So please do not treat the claims of visions and dreams as a trivial, light transgression. Now, some of the Bible verses that they claim to support their present visions and dreams, we have to know what these Bible passages actually really mean, so that when you confront them, you must know the biblical interpretation in order to help them. If the person is your friend, if the person really wants to be helped. Acts 2, 16 to 21 is the passage. Now, Acts 2 is the beginning of Peter's very well-known first sermon after the founding of the church at Pentecost, Acts 2. And what Peter said was this: "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Now, Joel's passage is in point C, page 4. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Right? That's what they say. "And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. Now, Joel's quotation: "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved or delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." Now, when Peter quoted from Joel, he deliberately omitted the word "afterward" in Joel 2 verse 28. "And it shall come to pass afterward." Now, that word is omitted by Peter. This is significant because from Joel's perspective, it was afterward, it was future. But from Peter's perspective, it was the present. In other words, what Joel said, Pentecost, Acts 2, was the fulfillment. That's why the word "afterward" was taken off. If the word "afterward" remains, then it will be somewhere future to Peter as well. But Peter's time, the Pentecostal experience, was the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2. That's observation number one. Okay? Observation number two. Please note, the beginning of Peter's message, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God." Okay, please note the plural. Now, please note the singular in the last part of verse 21. "Before the great and notable day of the Lord come." So the last days and the word "day." Last days, used in verse 16, refers to a last period. Last days of what? Now, we use this term also very much, but seldom do we understand the full impact of the context of that phrase. Last days of man's rule on earth. That's what it means. Because when the notable day of the Lord comes, referring to the second coming of Christ with the church, because at that day, when that day comes, this world will no longer be ruled by man. It will only be ruled by Christ from the coming of the Lord onwards. That's the millennium. That's what it means by the last days. Last days of human rule on earth, the way that we see our earth. That's what it means. So when did this last days begin? The last days began with the formation of the last witness. What is the last witness? The local church. God will now replace the national witness with the local church witness. And so this period has already now been more than 2,000 years, or slightly under 2,000 years. All right, assuming that Pentecost took place sometime in about 30-33 AD, after the crucifixion of Christ. Now we are in 2015, just short of 2,000 years. If it's 2030, then it will be 2,000 years. So what we see here is this. in this prophecy of Joel, as quoted by Peter in Acts 2, that the beginning of the last days period where the local church was born was here. The end of this last days period would be at the coming of the notable day of the Lord. So in this one verse, there is a gap of 2,000 years. Right? So the first part, when it first started, pour out my spirit upon all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall see dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and so on. This would be the Pentecost Acts 2. And then I will show wonders in heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And that is the second coming of Christ with the church. Okay, so there is a huge gap. Now this is prophecies. Sometimes there is no break in terms of time. It's just events after events after events. But then there can be a large break of time sandwiched in between a series of prophetic revelations given to us by God. Another example would be the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. You know the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. It was a huge statue, the top of the head made of gold, representing the Babylonian Empire. Then the second part of the body made of silver, representing the Medo-Persian Empire. And then the belly and the thigh made of brass or bronze, representing the Grecian Empire, because these were the materials that were the dominant material used by these various empires. Babylonian, a lot of gold. The Persians, a lot of silver. The Greeks, a lot of brass, bronze. And then iron, the Romans, their shield, their swords, made of iron, very hard, and that's why they were able to defeat the Greeks. Now these superpowers that rule the Middle East came one after the other without any intermission until the last one, where it is made of iron and clay. Now that one is the empire of the Antichrist. And so there is a gap between the Roman Empire and the final empire of the Antichrist that will one day surface, which is also known as the little horn in the book of Daniel, later chapters. This is chapter 2 of Daniel. So when you and I look at prophecies, please understand that there can be large gap of time in between, because the focus is on the events, not the time, unless the prophecy itself talks about time. Second thing to note, prophecies have only a single fulfillment. Once it is fulfilled, you cannot have a multiple, repeated, non-stop fulfillment. Every prophecy given by God is very specific. Once it is fulfilled, it is done. No multiple, double, or triple, or quadruple fulfillments. Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin once. That's it. Isaiah 7:14 prophesied it. When it happened, and that's it. When the baker and the butler received dreams from God, and God said, the baker, you're going to have your head lifted up, you'll die, he died. The butler, you will have your head lifted up, you're going to go back and be restored back to your position. And he was restored, and that's it. When God gave the dreams to Pharaoh, that there will be 7 years of great plenty, 7 years of great famine, and the famine will be so severe that the people will very soon forget about the 7 years of great plenty. It came, that's it. No multiple, not even double fulfillment. Likewise, all the prophecies of God have only singular fulfillment. These visions and dreams only appeared during the Pentecost period, and that's it. The people at that time, they experience it, that's it. It's not going to continue on for thousands of years for all of us. Remember, visions and dreams are the vehicles that God used to give us scriptures. And once the Bible was completed in Revelation 22, verse 18 and verse 19, God made it very clear. Don't you dare add or subtract. Visions and dreams were still needed until the Bible was completed. So please take note and understand the meaning of prophecies. Finally, page 5. Visions and dreams. The Bible warns us that in the last days, false Christs and false prophets will come. Matthew 24:24. And they will show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Great signs and wonders. The charismatic movement, as mentioned before, called themselves the signs and wonders movement. And the word great is where they also use the word to describe their churches, mega. No other denomination would ever claim mega churches. They do, because their church is really mega. Mega signs and wonders. God already prophesied. Jesus already prophesied 2,000 years earlier before this movement was born in 1906. What we are seeing today, experiencing today in our time, the charismatic movement, you don't quote Matthew 24:24 and add the word afterwards. Just as when Peter quoted Joel 2, he took away the word afterwards. Why? Because when he lived in Acts 2, it was the fulfillment of the Joel 2 prophecy. That was the beginning of the last days. When you and I read Matthew 24:24, no afterward. When Jesus says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and show thee great signs and wonders, in so much that if possible, they shall deceive the very elect. We are living in that time. We are living in the fulfillment of the many prophecies that Jesus Christ had given to us that will surely come to pass before his return. We must no longer read Matthew 24 as if it is in the future. Matthew 24, gospel will be declared all over the world. It's no longer future, it's here. Great signs and wonders by false Christs and false prophets, it's also here. We are living in the present of the many signs that Jesus Christ said will take place before his soon return. We are in that period. Visions and dreams by John Song. Vision. We do not say that John Song lied. There is no reason for him to lie. The difference between John Song's vision and the Bible's usage of the word vision is simply this. If John Song were to say to us, add my vision into the scripture, then he will become a false prophet. He just added to scripture. God can use visions to call certain individuals into full-time ministry, the way that he called Dr. John Song. That's it. But the visions that God gives to us in the Bible for certain individuals, they are equal to God's word. It is not just for those individuals like Nebuchadnezzar or Pharaoh or Abimelech. It's their own personal dreams. Yes, you are right. But because they are recorded in God's word, they become ours as well for our learning. They become God's word for our consumption and our understanding. The vision that God gave to John Song is personal, it's private, it's for him and for him alone. That's it. But bear this in mind. Now, of course, this is only by observation and deduction. The manner in which God calls his servant, the more spectacular they are, the more difficult the ministry will be. Now, this is my personal observation based upon how God called his servants in the Bible. You look at Dr. Johnson's ministry. It was short, it was very intense, and it was very difficult. 15 short years and it was all over. God has a special purpose for his life. God showed it to him in order to prepare him, give him the backbone, the courage, and the strength to do it. Just as God gave to Jeremiah, Moses, special calling in order for them to complete successfully the special ministry that God had in store for them. Very difficult ministry. Very lonely, very painful, very sorrowful. But God will give them the special manner to call them in order to remind them that I have called you. Don't you give up. You keep at it and you hold on. Put your hand to the plow and don't you turn back and let go of the plow. Visions and dreams of the charismatics are part and parcel of the whole package of delusion and deception that God already warned us will take place. It will be part and parcel of the whole package that will result in the apostasy of Christianity. And we are already seeing this today. Christianity will turn apostate before the second coming of Christ. Why do you think that all these isms surface at the turn of the 20th century? The ecumenical movement came into being officially in 1948. The new evangelical movement, 1948. The charismatic movement, 1906. All these are no accidents. We are now in the 21st century, where many of the prophetic signs prior to the second coming of Christ are already a reality. Beware and be warned of the charismatic movement. It is here to stay right up to the very end of the last days. It's not going to go away. The only way is to protect ourselves by knowing God's word, so that you will not be deluded, because their claims is very, very convincing. And because of their great numbers, they are very dominating in what they believe in what they do. They're going to represent the face of Christianity, whether you and I like it or not. Our nation, because of what Gong He has done, has given to the people who are not Christians a face of Christianity that you and I find very, very disgusting. But there's nothing you and I can do about it. But that is the power of numbers. They're going to dominate, they're going to give an impression to the world that you and I will find most unbiblical, most detestable, and yet there is nothing you can do about it. You can shout from the rooftop and nobody will hear you. Nobody cares. When Joseph Prince Church was able to rally their people to come up with $22 million over the weekend, do you remember? It came out in the newspaper. Where in the world do you find the offering of a church so spectacular that the newspaper of our country would print it for people? They are going to give this kind of face to Christianity, and it is going to stay. It's not going to go away, because the Bible tells us so. Christianity will turn apostate. That means they will retain the name Christianity, but they'll lose the essence of what genuine Christianity is all about. And the people who belong to that apostate Christianity will sincerely, truly believe that they are following Christ, when in fact, they're following the devil. They will believe a lie to be true, and they will believe true to be a lie. This is already here. So beware and be warned. Know the scripture so that you will not be deluded and deceived by the claims of the visions and dreams from the charismatic movement. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, grant to us discernment and courage to not only know what is right, but the courage to do what is right in thy sight, that we may not be pleasers of men, but pleasers of God Almighty. Preserve and defend us, O Lord, against the wiles of the devil. For we know that without thy enabling, without thy protection, we will all fall by the wayside. For we realize that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but always against principalities in high places. Help us therefore, O Lord, to know scriptures, so that we may be able to help our friends, our family members, who have been seduced and lured away by the charismatic movement of the last days. We pray, Father, for wisdom and for the filling of thy Holy Spirit, that we may continue to be sober, to be watchful, and to be spiritually aware of what is happening in Christianity, so that we will not fall by the wayside and become part of this evil, diabolical, Satan-inspired movement. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins where we have not lived a life of holiness and we have stumbled others. Teach us, O Lord, even as we know what is wrong, that we will always do what is right and holy in your sight. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.